This episode of the Nerd Up Podcast is brought to you in part by the Eagle Theater. For a location near you, check out eagletheater.net.
Intermission is over, and it's time to intermingle at the Eagle. Eagle Theater is thrilled to once again be bringing you the free Summer Kids Movie Series. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, June 8th through August 4th, bring the kiddos for some great kid-friendly fun. Doors open at 9:15. Adults are free when accompanied by a child. Seats are first come, first served. State COVID guidelines will be followed. It's the free Summer Kids Movie Series at Eagle Theater in Robinson. Learn more at eagletheater.net.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Tony Collins.
And you know, actually, what it is I always have the other hosts introduce themselves because I forget their names. Who are you again?
Yeah, I have no idea. It's probably a good thing that you have me introduce myself. It reminds me to remember who the hell I am.
Well, I noticed you're checking your underwear on that one.
Yeah.
Good thing your mom saw that in. Anyway, so. Well, this is an interesting episode of the podcast, mainly because, well, we just wanted to record something. And I don't want to go into details about my car breaking down. Tony had to give me a ride, and might as well, since we're here together anyway. But I hate my car now.
Yeah.
I used to love it, but no, it doesn't love me back. So anyway, besides that, we've been conversing with Eric Billingsley and Tim Coker on Facebook, and they're wanting to get back into it, and you could tell... I just simply said we got back into it, and all of a sudden they started.
Yeah, I was going to say
everything nerding out.
The Facebook Messenger started to explode about. Oh, we need to talk about this. We need to talk. Have you guys talked about Justice League? What about Wonder Woman 84? It was a dumpster fire. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. And it just and they're still going too. I mean, and that's the thing. That's why we always did this in the first place was because we love to talk about these things, and apparently they got ideas. So it looks like we'll be getting those guys back on. Now, Tim Matson, I think he's dropped off the grid. He gave up social media, and he said to get a hold of him on Discord, and I tried that once and never could get a hold of him. And I tried an email once, and I don't think he checks that. So I just think he's, like, living on the farm, growing a beard, and, you know, made friends with a grizzly.
He's living in a tiny house somewhere that's covered in solar panels.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, recycling rainwater and that kind of deal.
I wouldn't mind doing that myself, actually. So, but and this is just after he built onto his house a cinema, basically, where he can go watch movies and not have to go to a theater. And... I wanted to hear more about this, and all of a sudden he's no longer available, but we'll find him.
Yeah, and that has always been one of my dreams, to have a setup like that. You
a
know?
Cinema in your own home?
Yeah. Or,
well, like, we were talking about this earlier. You said something about someone had one of those she sheds converted into it.
Yeah, it was one of the little, like, background shed, you know, backyard sheds that you'd mm-hmm. store mowers and stuff in. I mean, I was a pretty good-sized one, but yeah, mm-hmm. they turned it into, I watched a YouTube video as... One is want to do, you fall down the rabbit hole of certain things. And the minute you watch one stupid thing on YouTube, then YouTube starts showing you, thanks to their algorithm, all of the other videos yeah. about that same stupid thing.
And of course, the stupid thing usually is something you were interested in the first place. So.
Well, and it's weird. I know way too much about what it takes to rent an apartment in New York than anyone from BFE, Illinois should know, because I stumbled onto it on YouTube, and it just, YouTube starts going, oh, you like that one? Here, check this one out. Check this one out. Well, crap.
Well, that, you know what? That's funny, because when YouTube first came out, one of the things that I had, well, we went to an indie pop con, and one of the star or a group of the stars that were there at the pop con signing autographs and everything were a bunch of YouTubers. And I thought, what? How are they celebrities? They're just, you know, and then now it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's an old network. I mean,
you know, the apartment realtor that I watch on YouTube who gives tours of New York City apartments. He gets stopped on New York streets. Oh, I know who you are. You're from
wow.
YouTube. Can I take your picture? And, oh, just from showing apartments.
Yeah. Now, at the time when I first saw the YouTubers at the con, Isaac goes, oh, yeah, that guy does this. That guy does this. That girl, she's always talking about this. And I'm like, how? And he spends all his time on YouTube. And now that I've got Roku and I've got a, you know, YouTube app installed on there, I'll go there. And there's just a few that I watch on a regular basis. So it's like, okay, I understand now.
Well, and that's, you know, I catch Kevin Smith and Mark Menard and doing the Fat Man Beyond podcast on YouTube. I watch it all the time. You know, yeah, there are two or three. One of the ones that my wife gives me such a hard time for, and I cannot explain why I watch it or why I find it kind of soothing, is a YouTube channel called Detail Geek.
Okay.
And he does automotive detailing. Exactly. I can't explain why I find it. It's kind of like watching Bob Ross paint.
Okay.
You know, you just sort of veg out and you're like,
He has this wave in your brain.
You know, 90% of the time, the cars that he's detailing are just absolute train wrecks. You go, how the hell does anybody let their car get in that shape? And I've got a dirty vehicle.
Uh-huh.
I'm not judging. But, you know, when you have layers of stuff stuck on top of other stuff, and there's something kind of soothing or cathartic about watching him take an absolute train wreck of a car and bring it back to near showroom quality.
Wow.
So
I guess YouTube's a thing.
It's one of my guilty pleasures. There's another guy that I watch who does nothing but stealth camping. He's in Canada, and he picks weird places to go camping.
Okay.
Abandoned buildings. Cemeteries. Thus the stealth. You know, because he's camping out in places he shouldn't be camping in and is possibly illegally camping there.
Oh, I see.
So now we're all just kind of watching, waiting for him to get busted.
Well, I know that there's one guy out of Australia that he's a plumber, and you get to watch him snake out drains, or he has this high powered flushing system. And you know what? It's a bunch of poop coming out of a pipe, and yet I watch this 20-30 minute video, and I'm like, and I'll watch the next one.
Yeah,
it's like I'm watching poop. Well, literally,
think about it. Dr. Pimple Popper became famous.
Oh yeah,
and those are we all cringe at it, but we've all watched at least one of the videos, haven't we?
I watched a portion of one of the videos. And I'm like, no, not for me. No. And then there's this one guy that he's from Cuba, and he travels the U.S. in the RV, and he just goes places and just explores it like a tourist, but he's actually a U.S. citizen, but he's originally from Cuba, and he just explores it like a tourist and explains every little detail, and it's just like, wow, I was there, but I didn't see that part, you know. I was like, okay.
So, you kind of forget what kind of an amazing country we live in with all of the BS going on, you know, all of the stuff in the news. You kind of forget about what a spectacular place this actually is to live.
And it's things like that prove it. And I guess, you know what, maybe you should take the podcast to YouTube.
Yeah.
How much work would that be, do you think?
I have no idea. I don't know if anybody wants to see either of us on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the way I'm thinking too. You know. There's a reason I'm in radio.
Yeah.
I've got the face for it. And maybe that's, I should stay off YouTube, unless I can get Isaac to do some really cool video graphic design.
If we could get a couple of avatars of ourselves.
Well, I do have the puppet.
Something. Yeah, there you go.
I got my marionette. So.
There you go. We'll just, the Gil puppet will be our YouTube presence.
There we go. We'll look into that. All right. Now, basically, again, like we normally do, we just went off on a tangent. We normally go off on tangents unless we have a guest. But then again, that doesn't keep us from going off on tangents either. But one of the things I wanted to do.
I will say this. Speaking of a tangent, I'm going to go off on one again. We interviewed Jason Zink, the indie filmmaker. And one of the tangential questions I asked him was, why this picture of a distinguished bald man showed up when you Google searched him.
Yeah.
Apparently he has fixed that now.
Yeah, because we did a Google search this morning.
That's right. I did a Google search this morning, and his picture actually is associated with his name now.
Yeah, it's great. I guess we fixed something.
Yeah.
Maybe Google was listening to us.
That's it.
That might have been.
Yeah, probably.
They are opening a store in New York, and that's, again, I just see people going in, how do you spell disestablishmentarianism?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, there's so many things that are going to go wrong with a Google store. I picture people just walking in going, free porn. Because I assume that's what everybody looks for when they go to Google, but maybe it's
sure.
Just me.
I'm pretty sure.
I go to the internet for the best of intentions, and then 2 minutes later, I'm like, why am I on a porn site? How did this happen?
It was a pop-up, honey, honest.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so one of the reasons why we decided to sit and record today, besides the fact that we were kind of slammed together and said, hey, why not? We're together, record. But kind of an introduction thing. And one of the things we, back in the beginning, I originally started podcasting, I want to say back in 2010, Sean Mitchell, you know Sean, we worked together at a comic book store, and we just to promote the store, we had a True Hideaway podcast for a while. Well, after we got disbanded the store, and he moved to Florida, he's since moved back, of course. But anyway, I said, well, I want to keep going. So I started the Nerd Up podcast. And that's when I recruited Isaac, of course, was always in on it, even back then. But and I recruited him and some guys from college, and we all did this. And we did an introductory episode then, but that's been years ago. And we're now, this is like the 160th episode right here that we're recording now. And it's time people got reacquainted with who we are. Maybe they don't want to go back and listen to those old ones anyway. I don't blame you.
Well, and, you know, we were joking before we started recording here that, I don't know, a year or so ago, shortly after you started working here at Classic Hits, WTYE, I kind of weaseled my way into being on one of the podcasts. And honestly, I just sort of sat in on it and interjected every once in a while. It was still, you know, the core group of Nerd Up podcast guys. And I was just kind of happy to just hang out and be a part of it. And now I have, I'm like,
you're now president of the company.
I'm like a tumor. I don't know, a bad foot fungus. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, we're
start off
here.
Just minorly annoying. And
so I think that's a perfect opportunity right now to start. Let's talk about who is Tony Collins on the air on Classic Hits, WTYE, which you can hear streaming live on WTYEFM.com, or oh, you can say, hey, Alexa, play Classic Hits WTYE, and she'll play the station. But anyway, Tony's the morning guy here, otherwise known as Captain Radio.
Yeah.
And we're going to dive into why he got that name, too. But also, you know, we realize we're both a couple of nerds. And that's why I just said, hey, why don't you join us? And he says he weaseled his way in, but actually I kind of said, hey, come on and join him. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then here we are a year later. So let's talk to you a little bit. First of all, let's talk about your career. You're in radio, and you've got the perfect voice for radio. I've always listened to you even when I worked at the other radio station. And you were the morning guy, and your voice was all over the place. And I kind of felt like I knew you. You know, and then I come to work here, and it's like, well, like the first day, you and I are like geeking out on Star Trek.
Yeah, it didn't take us long. Well, I'll tell you what, you had Jerry Maguire, you had me at hello. But no, seriously, the minute you told me that you were in the Navy, that's cool. Uh-huh. Thank you for your service to our country. But when you said you served on the Enterprise, and you served on the Enterprise at the same time the original Scotty actor, James Doohan, was doing a promotional cruise aboard the ship.
Yep.
So you served on the Enterprise with Scotty.
That's right.
That's it. You had me.
And then from there on, you and I started redecorating the station, the studios, bringing in all our nerdy toys and stuff.
Much to the dismay and chagrin of management, yes. Yeah.
Well, it beat the rubber ducks that were there. That's what I say.
Yeah, and our engineer drew the line in the sand at your Chiquita banana stickers on part of the cabinet.
Well, you know, for those of you who don't know, Chiquita bananas, they're supported by Disney, I guess, because like every other batch of bananas will have a sticker of some Disney star.
Yeah.
Well, I love bananas, plus the potassium's good for you. So every time I'd have one with a sticker, I'd be sticking it on this little wooden piece in the studio. And they got pretty big.
Yeah.
So he decided.
I believe he showed up one day to do some work, and he went, are you freaking kidding me? All right, that's it.
And both of us were like, well, okay. It didn't matter.
Nah, yeah.
It was just something we did.
Don't get rid of the 3-foot Yoda we have in the studio.
Right. You know? But the banana stickers can go.
Yeah, the banana stickers we're not going to fight for.
Well, let's talk about your radio career. I want to talk about that because I want to know what got you to do this crazy ass job that nobody gets rich doing.
Yeah. And believe me, that was a conversation that I had with my dad more than once. He wanted me to be a chiropractor because, you know, he was having back trouble at the time. And he's dropping $75 a visit, you know, for a 10-minute visit. And I believe I heard the damn, but boy, if you want to make a living, that's what you need to do. Yeah. But I'm kind of lazy and I like listening to music. So it really started, probably sometime maybe junior high school, my family and I were at a circus and I was mimicking the ring announcer. ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest show on earth kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom made the comment, hey, you know, you've got a pretty good voice for that. You should, I said, what, run away with a circus? It turns out I didn't quite do that. I did do something very similar. Oh, I got into radio.
It is a circus.
You know, I mean, like a lot of people, I think I grew up listening to radio. There were stations. I grew up in small town Illinois, and there were stations in Indiana, Terre Haute, that I listened to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you listen to those. Even our previous morning DJ here at TYE, Roger D,
mm-hmm.
was a guy I grew up listening to. And you go, man, that'd be fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got into high school and started looking, you know, when you're in high school, everybody goes, well, what are you doing when you leave high school? I don't know. Does that mean I've got to get a job and like start adulting and stuff? So my quick answer was, well, I'm looking at radio. And mm-hmm. Wabash Valley College in Mount Carmel had a mm-hmm. nice broadcasting mm-hmm. program. So that's where I chose to go. Just after I graduated high school, my now wife and I met one another, and she was going to school at Lincoln Trail College in Robinson. I was going to school in Mount Carmel. So we shacked up in Lawrenceville, halfway between the two places.
And living in sin.
We did for about a year.
Uh-huh.
Well, 6 months.
Okay.
I don't mess around.
Okay.
We met, we moved in together 6 months later, and 6 months after that, we were married.
Oh, wow.
We actually got married a year to the day we met.
Wow. And this has been 26 years now?
Yes. 26 wow. years of marriage, 27 years together.
See, kids, that's how you do it. Yeah. And, so now your career, your hometown radio, I mean, everybody in town knows you.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, I have looked at opportunities at other places. When I was in college, my broadcasting instructor said, I could get your foot in the door at an Evansville station, which is a bigger market, obviously, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. than this is. But I thought, you know, everything else that I wanted to be involved in was here in Robinson. I grew up in Oblong. Lisa, my wife's family, was here in Robinson. So Robinson seemed like the obvious choice. Mm-hmm. Now, I started out working at a radio station in Bicknell, Indiana, that was a full satellite fed operation. And boys and girls, what that means is there are no live local DJs.
Yeah.
So what I did was record the news and make sure that nothing went off the rail. That was it.
Mm-hmm. You're a babysitter, basically.
Yeah, I was a babysitter. And then mm-hmm. I got a phone call from the guy who owned this station at the time. And he said, hey, we've got an opening. It's evenings. It's yours if you want it. I'll be the guy on the air,
mm-hmm.
actually talking between songs. I will take it.
Little did you know, big band and polka music was in your future, too.
Oh, yeah, no, I should have known when I showed up for the job interview.
Uh-huh.
It was a Saturday morning, and I'm listening to the station as I'm coming in, and it's big band music. Not necessarily big band, circa, I mean, it's pre-rock and roll.
Okay.
So, you know, the Andrew Sisters and stuff like that. Not necessarily Glenn Miller. And
not the good big band.
Yeah, I mean, it was what they call beautiful music, I suppose. Yeah. Somebody called it that. But anyway, I walked in, and the owner at the time was working the Saturday morning shift in his khaki shorts,
mm-hmm.
black socks pulled up to his knees, wearing his New Balance tennis shoes, button-up shirt, short sleeve, half tucked, half untucked.
Okay.
And it may have not even been buttoned up straight. I don't remember.
It was Saturday.
And he had hair that kind of made Kramer's look normal. That should have been an indication.
Oh, yeah. You're in for fun.
Yeah. Well, and that was after I'd gone and interviewed at WIKK, another station over in Newton,
mm-hmm.
owned by Kent Langford at the time.
I worked for that guy.
Yeah. And I should have known then when I walked in and, you know, Kent was legendary for this giant gold necklace uh-huh. with a big gold microphone.
Right.
And, you know, he thought it was circa Saturday Night Fever 70s because his shirt
was to Studio 54.
His shirt was unbuttoned. And yeah. So when I went and interviewed there first, and I thought, oh, dear God. And then I came here and went, well, it's official. There are no normal people in radio.
I fit in.
Exactly. And, you know, I've been here since 1994.
Wow. So. Wow. That's pretty impressive. All right. So now that you're a full-fledged radio guy, and like I said, you go walk in town here or anybody in the Crawford County area, they'll know you. And your voice alone. I mean, there's a story you told about sitting in the theater one time, and you do the commercials for the theater, pre-movie commercials.
Yeah, and I was, my son and I had gone to see, I think it was one of the Star Wars movies.
Nope.
One of the Star Wars prequels or sequels or something. It was a fairly crowded theater at the time, and we're sitting there, and he and I, because we go to the theater quite often, we would do verbatim all of the pre-show commercials.
Right.
You know, one for our local car dealership, and then I voiced a couple. And so I was sitting there doing that. And little girl, couldn't have been more than 10 or 12, maybe, sitting next to me. And she goes, "Wow, you sound a lot like that guy." And I went, "You know, I am that guy." And then I enjoyed talking to her more than I did the movie. And even better than that, and the reason we do this job, even though we don't make a ton of money, is a day later, I got a Facebook message from her dad saying, "Thank you. You have no idea what that meant to her."
Right.
That's what she talked about the rest of the night, was how cool it was to talk to you and that you were friendly.
Wow.
So, you know, it's stuff like that that makes the meager pittance we receive.
makes it a little bit easier to swallow.
All, all the more tolerable.
Yeah. By the way, did you see the latest paycheck? Well, anyway. all right. So, well, now that we know this is why Tony talks.
Yeah, I come from a family of talkers. I have one of those families, and it's funny because my family and my wife's family could not be more different.
No, yeah?
My wife's family doesn't ever talk about anything. My family never shuts up. We talk about everything. We talk about things that you, as a family, you should talk about. And we probably talk about some stuff as a family you absolutely should not talk about. But we've always had a very kind of open kind of communication as far as that goes. So,
you know, and that's another thing that you and I have in common is the same thing. My wife, she don't talk. And her family, her family's all right. It's a mixed batch. But I'm the one out there, you know, yelling and screaming and at the top of my lungs at the corner if I have to. Just get somebody to listen.
Yep.
So. All right. Well, what makes you a nerd? Why are you such a nerdy guy? What makes you, you know, eligible for this job?
Wow. Well, first off, my love for Star Trek is well established.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you referenced the fact that I go by Captain Radio. I was working evenings and the studio previously, where our studio was previously located, we had all of the meters and, you know, transmitters and optomods and all of the fancy engineer words that audiophiles know what they are. But they all had, you know, little bouncing meters and things going this way and needles moving and bright lights. And I made reference one night while I was doing the evening show, and I made reference that it felt like I was on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little hum of the AM transmitter over here. These lights are bouncing. And I said, you know, I feel like captain of the Enterprise. I'm captain of the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became Captain Radio. Yeah. And it was one of those stupid things that you say at night and you repeat it enough times. And now I have people shouting it at me.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
well, you even have an iron desk placard that has Captain Radio on it. So.
Yeah. And I have to give my son-in-law, Tim, a shout out on that one.
Ah.
It was, you know. He was dating my daughter at the time, and he just wanted to get on my good side. And so this was a shop class project.
Oh.
And, you know, he had it cut. He cut it. I, you know.
Nice.
And even better. And I think he stumbled ass backwards into this one, but it's actually in the Star Trek Next Generation font.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he planned it that way. I just think he went, "Well, that's kind of a cool looking font. Let's use that one."
And so that sold you.
Yeah.
So, all right. So basically you got the whole Starfleet behind you now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, big Star Trek fan. And, you know, I mean, I grew up playing video games, you know, Atari, Nintendo, N64, you know, Sega. I've owned just about every video game console iteration from most of the major companies. I'm not going to say I've owned them all, because I know there are some weird, like wackadoodle that released one game in the 80 7 or something like that. So
now you still play video games too.
Oh yeah.
What's your game of choice right now?
I play a lot of sports games, so okay. You know, those who can't do play. And so, you know, I play UFC and I play Madden NFL. One of my absolute favorite games all time has to be Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh.
I've played the crap out of it. And I've actually played through the story mode mm-hmm. a couple of different times. So,
all right.
I'd play more online games. My son loves playing online games and my son-in-law. So I could get online and play with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so far behind where they are as far
right.
as
yeah,
their,
yeah.
you know, the level. They basically just use me as fodder, you know.
Hey, we're taking gunshots. Hey, go over there.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, that's it. They use me as a decoy while uh-huh. they flank the uh-huh. other guys.
That makes sense.
At least I know my place.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid that, see, I don't play the online games because of that reason, because I just can't keep up with these young kids.
I don't
kids.
Need a 9-year-old talking smack
no,
to me.
Right?
I do not need a 9-year-old calling my masculinity into question.
Well, one of the first things I started playing, besides you got the NES, I mean, Atari, I had Intellivision back in the day.
Yeah.
And all those, but I there were times I would have blisters on my thumbs from playing so much. And so I actually stopped for a long period of time. I played Dungeons & Dragons, and I'm like, okay, that's a good break from video games. And again, back then, video games were not graphically great. So, and anyway,
but we thought they were.
Oh, we thought they were awesome.
I mean, I remember playing Contra and Mike Tyson's Punch.
Oh my God.
Playing Mike Tyson's Punch out going, oh my God, it's never going to get any better than this.
Right?
Look how realistic. That really looks like Mike Tyson.
No, it looks like Mike.
Holy crap.
Well,
yeah.
Then my son, he got to be an age, one of the things, first things I got him was a Nintendo DS. Well, I had to get myself one because it's more fun to play against each other
sure.
on those things or with each other. And so then I became, and now he complains that I can't keep up because I'm old and my thumbs are arthritic.
Yeah.
So, which, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
So, all right. So video games, movies, I know for a fact you come in and wearing, well, like right now you're wearing a DC shirt.
Yeah.
The original gangsters.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
OG.
They're with Penguin, Joker, Riddler, and Catwoman. Yeah.
Oh,
see?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen several times you've got one St. Louis Cardinals shirt with the Avengers. I love.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like,
yeah,
wait.
It works. I don't know where that shirt came from. I don't know at what point the Cardinals signed on, and it's the comic book Avengers too. It's not Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Hemsworth. It's the actual comic book Avengers.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. Yeah. And it scratched a couple of inches at the same, cause
exactly.
I'm a St. Louis Cardinal fan and it's, you know, nerdy stuff. So there are days where I am too, but you know, I grew up in a house of St. Louis Cardinal fans. And so it was kind of,
you had to,
yeah, it was kind of in my blood.
Well, now another thing I think makes you nerdy, you haven't touched on yet. You kind of mentioned your son, Logan. He's named after a hero.
He is. Whether my wife was aware of it or not, he is named after Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we were trying to come up with names for our son when we found out Lisa was pregnant. And I said, initially, I wanted to name him Chance.
Okay.
Because of a Jean-Claude Van Damme character from the movie Hard Target.
Oh, okay.
His name was Chance Boudreau. And when somebody asked him, Chance, what kind of name is that? He smiled and said, because my mama took one. Mama took a chance. She got pregnant. Boom. He's named Chance. I thought it was funny as hell.
Right.
And I wanted to name my son Chance. And my wife went, no. I said, okay. How do you feel about Logan? Well, Logan's not bad. Okay, could we name him Logan Chance? No.
No.
Fine. But I got away with Logan.
Nice. All right. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah, my son's name is Logan. My daughter's name is Katie.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
My granddaughter, who is a month old, month and a half old now,
uh-huh.
she's named Harley
mm-hmm.
because of Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is a huge Harley Quinn fan.
There you go.
She's actually cosplayed as Harley Quinn before.
Okay.
And she did
it. I can see her doing that too.
She did it right. I mean, she went to the, and it was the comic book Harley Quinn.
Okay.
It was, you know, red and black checked bustier.
Okay.
It was, you know, the long pants and knee high boots, and Yeah, she killed it as Harley Quinn one year. Nice. In the Fall Follies parade over here in Oblong, she dressed as Harley Quinn.
Okay. Well, speaking of that parade, here's another thing that makes you a nerd. You decked out your family and your vehicle to be a zombie response team, and half of them were zombies.
Yeah. Honestly, if I hadn't gotten into radio, one of the things I wanted to do was Hollywood special effects, particularly prosthetics and liquid latex and makeup, that kind of thing. So, yeah, anytime I have an opportunity to talk family and friends and let me slather liquid latex all over their face and paint them up, I'm going to go for it.
That's why you were so interested whenever Jed Bryan came in and filmed that movie here. You were like, can I just watch the makeup people?
Yeah, I just want to be behind the scenes, you know, because it is definitely an interest. So when Jed said, yeah, I don't care, go ahead, come on out, hang out. I'm like, all right. Well, I serve no purpose, but okay.
I'm here. Well, I guess officially, if I had a certificate to give you, you would be awarded the official nerd.
Official nerd? Yeah. Good. Yeah. I have now expressed my nerd bona fides.
Yeah. I mean, you got the background. You got everything else for it. So, again, there you go, folks. There's the introduction to Tony Collins, because you need to know what he's about. Because you're going to be listening to him a lot.
Because I won't shut the up, is what Gil's trying to say.
That and the fact that he said, hey, let's build a studio. Okay.
Yeah.
So we started putting together parts and pieces. And
yeah, I do on the side, as I think most small town DJs do on the side, I do party DJ, you know, wedding receptions and that kind of thing. And it just so happened that I needed a new mixer console for my DJ business. And I thought, that's a really nice little console, and it's got several mic inputs. And, hey, Gil, we've got an empty room here at the radio station. Why don't we put together a podcast studio? Be a little more comfortable. We don't ever have to run the risk of this stuff accidentally getting on the air.
Right.
Because some of the other episodes we've recorded together, we've done in our actual on-air studio.
Yeah.
and I don't know about you, but it always makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. I was the one behind the board at that time, and I was constantly going, is this okay? That button's still pushed. Okay, we're good. You know?
Nope. All right. Nope.
Even half an hour into the interview, I'm like, okay, yeah, no, that's still good. Nobody pushed it.
So, yeah, now we're just back here in the catacombs of the Classic Hit Studio.
And that's a funny thing. You got a Behringer mixer, and I'm like, hey, I got an adapter that will put that right into a computer and you record directly. And then I said, oh, I've got a headphone amplifier that we can get more headphones. Oh, you ordered two mic booms. Oh, I've got a microphone that, and all of a sudden we got a studio.
As if it was meant to be.
That's exactly it. And made in heaven.
The rest, they say, is history.
Or it will be on future podcast episodes.
No. Let's keep it on brand. This is the way.
It is, too. All right. Now, so I guess now people know who you are, I guess.
Well, you know, like we talked about early on, one of the things that you and I clicked over was the fact that you were serving aboard the Enterprise. You were in the Navy. So talk a little bit about what brought Guilty Wilson to the Navy.
Oh, I wanted to get out of town.
All right, and there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you tuning into this episode.
Well, okay, seriously, back in the 80s, when I graduated high school, one of the things I wanted to do, I was actually going to join the Army. And I wanted to go to other countries. And I grew up poor. And there was no other way for me to do that.
Right.
Well, I was going to go in the Army, but they found out I smoked weed. So I'm like, okay, I guess I won't be going in there. And then got over to the Navy, and they said, oh, we'll let you in. You just got to never smoke it again. I'm like, well, okay. So the Navy let me in.
Yeah. All right.
So for 6 years, I did none. But I joined in the Navy. And it's funny because a friend of mine was a recruiter for the Army at the time. He goes, Gil, don't sign any papers. I can get you in. I said, too late. I'm in the Navy. And he goes, fine. So I was in the Navy. Well, one of the things I went and recruited as undesignated. In other words, I didn't have a job. Well, I had a job because it was the crap jobs that everybody else gets is, you know, doing the sweeping the decks, painting and all this stuff.
You were the guy that actually swabbed the poop deck.
Oh, you gosh, yeah. And there is a poop deck. But anyway, after that first year, I'm like, nope, this is not what I want to do. I want to find something better to do. So I went and you do what's called OJT, on the job training. And I jumped from, like, I was wanting to be a cook. they actually sent me to a culinary school for 6 months. And then I was like, no, I want to be a corpsman. I want to be a hospital corpsman. I want to be basically as a nurse. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And I did that, and I took a training course for 6 months. And this was an independent training course, not Navy. And then I was like, oh, this sounds really good. And then when we pulled into port in Seattle at one point, we were going to be there for a few months. And I said, well, I'll do a ride-along with some EMTs. Well, we had a traffic accident in which they had to break out a scraper to get the body off the cement. And I'm like, nope, that's definitely not what I want to do. So then it came to the point where I said, well, what do I want to do? And I watched the guys that were staring at radar scopes. And I'm like, that's kind of cool because they have air conditioning.
I was born to stare at a screen.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the controller? Yeah. And this these screens were way better than Pong. So.
Right.
And so I said, hey, that looks kind of fun. And then I specialized in basically for the layman, it's an air traffic controller type thing. The job I did was air operations specialist. That was everybody that operated radars and stuff like that. But I specialized in air traffic control and became an AIC, air intercept controller. And so I went from the McCluskey, the USS McCluskey, which is a small frigate. Then I was on board the USS Arkansas as an operations specialist. And then the Arkansas went into dry dock. And as an operations specialist, you're stuck in land. There's nothing to do except sweep. And so I don't want to do that. So then the Enterprise was basically parked across the pier from us, and they were getting ready to go out to sea for 9 months. And they needed people to man Commander Destroyer Squadron 9 group, which basically is a temporary duty that they assigned to the Enterprise and sent them out. And I'm like, all right, I'll do that. Especially getting on the Enterprise, that's cool as heck. I didn't know Scotty was going to be there.
Right.
So I spent about 9-10 months on there, and that's when it was right before the Gulf War. This is what the actions that led up to the Gulf War, and I was involved in the thing called Operation Praying Mantis. And after that, I'm like, you know, I don't think I want to do this either. This whole Navy thing is a bit much because I'm killing people. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So then I got out of the Navy, and when I got out, I was going to go to Wabash Valley College.
Really?
Yep. And I looked at that, and this was back 89, 90, around in that time period. And I looked and then found out that I was researching schools. At the time, I could go anywhere because I was in Seattle, Washington, and I was a military vet, so that means I could have my choice pretty much. And I looked at the top three schools for radio broadcasting. Because I knew that's what I'd wanted to do that back in high school. The top three schools were Berkeley in California, UC Berkeley, Columbia University, and SIU Carbondale. And that was the number three nation, or school in the nation at the time. And I'm like, that's in my home state. I'll go there. And so I went to SIU Carbondale and then graduated, ended up with, first of all, started out with radio television degree. While I was there, I used to have a really bad Southern accent. Still kind of slips out once in a while.
Well, and that's another aspect of your history that we've got to touch on, because I've actually had some of our listening audience ask me about it, because you've referenced it on the air before. Uh-huh. That there was a period in your life where you lived in, like, you know, 50 different places. Yeah. In, you know, a short amount of time.
I went to 19 different high schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had somebody flag me down and go, well, I heard Gil talking about this, and that can't possibly be true. So I came and said, hey, tell me.
And true. Yeah. Yeah, my dad was a pipeliner, and about every few months we'd have to move. Or I'd go live back with my mom and then move with my dad, and then my mom would move again, and then I'd go back live with her for a while and then go back with my dad. And, yeah, I went to 19 different high schools, and a lot of times I had to go through summer schools because missing so much school, I had to make up for some of it. Or there was one time I took a summer school just because they had classes I wanted. And I mean, driver's ed was one of them, but the others are like one of them was like drafting class. And I always wanted to do that. And so, yeah, I went to a lot of summer schools too. So it was fun, but.
Well, and a lot of them were in the South, right? I mean,
yes.
You spent a lot of time in Louisiana and
yep.
Kentucky. And
well, I was born in Louisiana, raised mostly Oklahoma, I'd say, because that was our home base. That was, you know, whenever there's non-pipeline season, we'd go back to Oklahoma. but also went to schools in Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas. Let's see here. Then again, also Nebraska, Iowa, Montana, and Oklahoma. There was one point in Oklahoma I went to school, and the kid goes, "Where are you from?" And at that time, I had just moved back from Montana, and I said, "Well, it's hard for me to say, but I was born in Louisiana." He goes, "Because you sound like you're from California." I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "Okay." So I told my dad that, and he goes, "Well, it must be the mixture of Southern and Montana."
Yeah, it was the long hair and all the weed.
Yeah, I guess so. That might have been it too.
It might have been it.
So
it's because you had a propensity for saying, "Dude,
dude, what?" And you know what? It worked because I got myself a good rounded education out of it, I think.
Well, and I would think, given that much time in those states, mm-hmm. you had to have sort of this weird amalgamation of accents.
Yeah,
you know, like, well, that's because my wife has family that is from Tennessee. Aunt Darlene from Tennessee. Uh-huh. Y'all ought to come visit us sometime. But it's very distinct sort of Southern. You had to be just sort of Matthew McConaughey-ing that up all over the place.
There were times. I mean, it's funny because wherever I was reflective of what, you know, I mean, of what my previous location was. And by the time I got to college, I had just, I don't know how, but mainly because it was the last ship I was on, the guys were a whole bunch of Southerners from Arkansas. And so I was talking like this a lot, you know, couldn't really clear it. And so my teacher told me, said, "You know, if you want to get on radio, you need to be a little clearer and probably get rid of that accent." And I'm like, "How do I get rid of an accent?"
Right.
And so she says, "You need to take some theater courses." She goes, "Mainly they have these voice classes." And I thought, okay, one of them was Shakespearean acting, just the voice class part of it. We didn't have to act. Well, I fell in love with Shakespeare all of a sudden.
I absolutely love Shakespeare. I love hearing it. I love seeing it performed. Do not ask me to read it.
It's not meant to be read.
No, I can read it, but it doesn't make a damn bit of sense. No. But I love hearing it. And I understand. I get the metaphors and that kind of thing, but
yeah. And that's the one thing in that voice class, Alex Christopoulos, I'll never forget that guy's name. That was the instructor for the class. And I was like, "Oh, I got to take the voice class." And Shakespearean voice work really took the accent out. You got to wrap your mouth around these words here. So it's like, okay, I'm changing. But Alex Christopoulos taught this class. And one of the first things he said, he goes, "Shakespeare is not meant to be read." He goes, "It's meant to be performed." And I was like, okay, I think I get what you mean. And then once the class started and we actually performed our voice work, I saw it and I'm like, oh, this stuff's cool. So then I kind of specialized in Shakespearean, you know, because I took every Shakespearean class I could at the time, staying away from the English lit guys.
So when I've been a butthead in the past and called you an actor, you actually are an actor.
Well, okay.
You've actually done some Shakespearean sort of stuff.
I have, but there's not too much of a market for that. So unless you're doing a Shakespearean in the Park type thing.
Right.
And actually, it's funny because I got 2 degrees from SIU, one in radio and one in theater. And when I graduated, I moved to Kansas City. I wanted a market that was big. You know, and then Kansas City was the number 26 in the nation. And when I got there, first thing I did is like I met up with a guy that wrote a play and he was getting ready to have it produced at a local theater. I'm like, yeah, I want to get a theater. It's yeah, let's do that. And I got to be his sound designer and also be the soundboard operator because that kind of blended with what I was doing with the radio. Anyhow, we got up to the day of dress rehearsals. The theater canceled on it because it was too risque of a play. It was about a serial killer that kept souvenirs. And so they said, no, we don't want that. And I was like I said, dress rehearsal, that's the week before performance.
Right.
Yeah, they canceled on us. So I never did theater again until I came back here to Robinson.
And now you've done quite a few productions here at LTC, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. I want to say about 5 or 6 since that's the thing. All right, I never mentioned my theater degree. Isaac, my son, who's now a junior in college, he started doing stuff back when he was in middle school. And then he also got onto the theater when he was in high school. He got into doing the college theater stuff, too. And he asked me, he goes, why don't you do some theater? I'm like, I don't know. And I never mentioned that I had a degree in it. And so anyway, so I told him, I said, I don't know. I said, because they do musicals. I don't do musicals because I really don't. I love watching a few, but not all musicals.
Right.
And I said, I just don't, because nobody wants to hear me sing. That's for sure. And he goes, all right. And so then one summer he goes, Dad, they're doing a non-musical. You going to audition? I'm like, crap. I guess I told you that I would. Yeah. So I did. And then I got, that got me back a few, quite a few years ago, back into the theater thing. So yeah, that's what, that's me. Radio, theater, whatever else I can do. Podcasting. Yeah.
Podcasting.
And, yeah. And again, I'm the old school nerd. I mean, I've been doing, like, I played Pong, you know, when it came out.
Right.
So, not me, my rich cousins had Pong.
Right. No, I had to go over to my cousins, yeah. Danny and Doug, uh-huh. My cousins had Pong, had an Atari. And so that was, Pong and Pitfall and, you know, oh, it's not going to get any better than this. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
And then we go on from there. I remember.
And now my favorite video game, Red Dead Redemption 2, and I am not making this up, and people can Google this if they need to verify. It is so detailed that someone was in charge of horse testicle physics.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. The game has a number of different areas that you can explore. Some are more desert, and then some are up in the mountains and very snowy and cold.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take your big horse, stallion, into the snowy parts, his testicles get smaller. Does anyone on earth need that attention to detail?
Yes.
But you know that was somebody's job. Someone was losing sleep over getting the testicle physics correct for the horses in Red Dead Redemption 2.
They're all balling before you in the, down on the farm. Horses ball, cows ball, big ball too.
Although I have that same thought anytime I see a crappy movie. And we've all seen some just gems of movies before. I think, oh my God. This was someone's job. I mean, there were pitch meetings. Mm-hmm. There were budget meetings. There were drafts of a script. And this was the final product. This was the, this is it. It gets as good as it. Now, I love movies that are bad and they know they're bad and they embrace it.
Yes.
The ones that just freak me out are the ones that are bad, but really think they're good.
The Room?
M. Night Shyamalan did The Sixth Sense.
Uh-huh.
I loved it. My wife and I were huge fans.
Uh-huh.
After that, I think his next movie down the pike was a movie called The Village.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that one.
And I don't know if it's because, you know, first we were a little jaded because we knew that with an M. Night Shyamalan movie, there had to be a twist.
Yeah.
We went and saw it in the theater, Eagle Theater here in Robinson, and we were 15 minutes into it, and it is establishing itself as this period piece. And I looked at my wife and went, watch, they're going to be in the middle of some sort of forest preserve in modern day. Spoilers. They were literally like in Central Park. It was ridiculous. And so, and I think that's a movie that wanted to be good, but my money was just horrible.
Yeah.
And judging by some of the Facebook chatter with the, other Nerd Up podcast guys, yeah. Wonder Woman 1984 falls in that same category.
Is that right?
A movie that wanted was really bad.
I never saw that yet. I mean, here's the thing. COVID hit, took away our theaters. There are several movies I want to see, but they released them on HBO Max or whatever.
Right.
And I don't have that. And I'm not getting it just for that.
Yeah, don't get HBO Max just for Wonder Woman 84.
Now, I would get it for Bloodshot. I want to see Bloodshot so bad. Vin Diesel, but I love the comics.
Right.
But that one is like, I keep searching to see where it's available besides HBO Max.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, you know what? And there's so many out there, like, the Zack Snyder cut. Oh, again, going back to the Facebook chat we've had among the other guys.
Yeah, apparently the other guy's not a big fan of the Justice League, the Snyder cut of Justice League.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know. I didn't like the Justice League, period.
I mean, I do agree with the general consensus is it's longer.
Yeah. Hey, Zack Snyder redid it.
Yeah.
How is it? It's longer.
It's longer. You know, I think it benefited especially from being released on HBO Max.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could cut it up. I mean, it is like a four-hour movie, and you could watch a little bit of it and then go, and go do something else, and then come back the next day and watch a little bit more of it. Now, I feel like I earned my my geek merit badge when I sat down and plowed through all 4 hours of it in one sitting.
Wow.
I feel like I, you know, some sort of commendation.
Would you have made it through that in the theater, though?
I don't know. I'd have probably fallen asleep. I'd have probably dozed off.
I'd have had to go to the bathroom a couple times anyway.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That's the one thing I'm concerned about. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, when that first came out, I drank a big old thing of Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, I'll have you know. Big old, like the gallon-sized jug.
And, well, because if you're going to go see a movie in the theater, who gets a small popcorn and a small soda?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
And I get the economics of getting a small soda because it is refillable. Yeah, but...
Who wants to get up and...
Are you kidding
me? Well, that's the problem. I sat there about halfway through the film, and all of a sudden, my bladder was going to explode.
Yeah.
I didn't get up. I watched the whole movie. When the credits... Or actually, after the post-credit scene, I even waited for that. After that, I pushed people out of the way so I could get in that bathroom. That's the only movie that I've ever sat down for the whole time and said, no, I got... Well, what was it? Endgame was like 3 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Even that, I said, no, I got to go. So I would walk out and I would go and then come back and what did I miss? Not much. Okay.
All right. Good deal.
So, and I have a feeling with the Snyder Cut, I'd have had to make a couple of trips, but I don't think I would have missed anything at all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there were some aspects of the Snyder Cut that I appreciated. I like the fact that they brought a Darkseid, had more of a relevant role,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of cool, but I don't know.
Well, you know, in the
a lot of it seemed to me like Zack Snyder was given a lot of money and told he could do whatever he wanted, and he absolutely just was self-indulgent to the nth degree with it.
And so it became actually it's a Zack Snyder movie, not just a Justice League. So
yeah.
Well, you know, and that's the thing with that movie. It's like I don't know if we really needed it, but like you said, someone gave him money and he said, "I can do it.
Yeah, I'll do it."
Well, and actually, I give Jed Bryan, our friend, you know, the movie filmmaker, his first film, Unlisted Owner, he's doing a recut of that. Actually, his reason is because, you know, he says there's always been scenes that have bugged him and that he'd like to have done better. And so he's going to do a director's cut of it, and it's coming out soon. We're going to talk to him about that sometime on the podcast coming up in a few days. But anyway, so I keep joking around and say, no, you just watch Zack Snyder and you're hoping to get that money.
Yeah. So this is the Bryan cut.
Yeah, the Jed Bryan cut of Unlisted Owner. Just don't make it 4 hours, Jed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right now his movie, I think is like I want to say 70 minutes. So it's kind of short. So he can stand to put
pad it out a little bit.
A little bit.
Now you've recorded some elements for his director's cut, haven't you?
I got to do that.
Okay.
I recorded some, and so we could test the camera angle that we're going to do, because it's a found footage film.
Right.
And so he had to justify, and we have, in our studio, we have cameras in case we have morning show guests that, you know, we want to broadcast that on Facebook or whatever the case may be. And he wanted to recut that. There's a radio announcement on the movie that basically he just has a close-up of the radio. And it's like, he always felt that was cheesy. He goes, "That'd be nice to be able to go back and forth between a news guy doing this." And so that's what he's having me do. I'm going to recut that scene, but I forgot to do it. Well, no, I didn't forget to do it this week. I got busy this week, but I'm supposed to do it sometime soon. And so I'm going to be filming like just a quick line talking about, you know, the news announcement of what's going on. And so I'm proud to be part of the Jed Bryan director's cut.
Absolutely. As well you should be.
So that'll be kind of cool. We'll talk to him about that too coming up. But yeah, and that's, you know, that's the other thing about this whole movie issue. They're making them longer. Okay. Again, Jed's making his probably a little longer, but he can afford to. But other people like Zack Snyder, even Wonder Woman, I'm trying to think, Guardians of the Galaxy, the number two was quite long. Of course, Endgame was 3 hours. I mean, we need to bring back the day. There were days when movies had intermissions.
Right. Or they got it done in an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and I don't mind the long storytelling. Just give me a break.
No. And honestly, you know, and we've talked about it. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I really think that that's where the Marvel TV stuff through Disney Plus has excelled.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they can do the long form storytelling.
Yep.
And we're talking circa 9 hours worth of story. Yeah. But it's broken up into 40, 50 minute episodes. And so it's not, you know, you're not sitting in the movie theater for a full work day.
Right.
You know,
although
I would.
I would. If that's the only way to watch them.
I told my wife, I said, I really, really hope that with like WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, I think it'd be so much fun if they cut it all together as one movie and then put it back, you know, put it out on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can still sit down and watch each individual episode, but I think it would be interesting to see it as maybe one continuous movie. I think that would be kind of cool.
Especially with Falcon and Winter Soldier, they could do that. And they could cut out, because at the beginning of every episode, it's like a previously on,
right.
And, you know, cut out that stuff. And you just kind of have like about 20 or 30 minutes,
right.
You know, to work with. You can make it into it, but it'd still be a long movie.
Well, the thing that I've also, I find interesting nowadays is what defines a successful movie has changed so much, thanks in no small part to, I think, Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
now if you don't have a movie that makes $1 billion at the box office, it's not a success.
Yep. And there's some great movies out there that are not successful in accordance to, you know, the Marvel money.
Right.
But there's some cool stuff out there.
Right.
We call those indie films.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of them anyway. Well, I don't know. I mean, again, with COVID taking away everything during the 2020, going back to the movies, we're slowly, well, they're back open and we're getting some more content from Hollywood. I'm hoping that we can get back on track and go back
too.
To the movies and get some good nerdy movies.
Well,
out
I tell
there.
You, and I think I shared it. I think I sent it to you. This has been probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. Marvel released a come on back to the movies sort of trailer, kind of featuring a lot of their Disney Plus Loki and WandaVision and Black Widow and that kind of thing. But it had a voiceover by Stan Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
If as a person who's into this stuff, if that didn't just give you all the feels. Now, I understand that it is 100% manipulating.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know they can have Stan Lee do the voiceover, and all of us are going to go, oh, okay.
I miss him.
I'll go back to the movies. You know.
But he won't be there.
No, he won't be there. But he will be. He even has.
You know what?
Did you have. We talked previously about the Venom 2 There Will Be Carnage trailer.
Yeah.
Have you. I don't know how many times you've watched the trailer. I've seen it 2 or 3 times. Stan Lee actually makes a cameo in the trailer.
No, I did not catch that.
Yeah,
oh.
It's one of the opening scenes, and it's Stan Lee, air quotes.
Okay.
But Eddie Brock is walking into the little bodega that he shops at, and you see Venom kind of adjusting stuff on the shelf. One of the things he reaches over and adjusts is like a Newsweek magazine that has a picture of Stan Lee on it.
I guess I'm going to watch it again.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And they dropped that right there in the trailer.
Yeah. Look, and you know what? And that's the thing that I'm going to miss is the Stan Lee cameos. Hopefully they find a way to like that to, you know, keep him in there. But there was also rumor at one point they're going to have Deadpool do all the cameos.
What I think, what was it? Stan Lee had a cameo in one of the Deadpool movies, didn't he? I think it was the Deadpool 2, and it was a big mural on the side of a building as they're parachuting in. There's a Stan Lee cameo, which, hey, you know, as long as they can keep figuring out ways to work Stan Lee into it, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, exactly. I like
that idea, the mural or the magazine cover, better than some weird, unholy CGI'd version of Stan Lee.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's the thing. Well, actually, one of the best cameos ever in a Marvel movie was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. The Stan Lee as a shopkeeper and had the most heart-wrenching speech about wearing the mask. I'm like, shush! Don't make me cry, Stan. Anyway, but I think that's cool. I mean, all these people saying, why has it got to be Stan Lee? I mean, Jack Kirby also did. Well, you know what? Stan Lee just happened to be the face, and the guys, I mean, I don't know how he was early years. I heard he might have been hard to work with, but in the later years, I met him once. I got my nice little poster signed by him, and nicest guy in the world. All he was about making sure the fans got what they wanted.
Well, and that's the people who have been into comic books for a long time understand that Stan Lee isn't new to being the face of these things.
Yeah.
Even back in the day when, I mean, it was always letters to Stan or whatever it was. In the back
soap
of
box.
The back of the comic books or whatever. He was doing those early on, you know, in the 80s or whatever. He was the one introducing the Saturday morning cartoons and stuff like that.
That's
So he's always kind of been the face of Marvel.
Yep.
It's not just a new thing.
Even the, was it 2000, around 1999, 2000, they had a Spider-Man game for the N64. And I think for the PlayStation is also, but anyway, he was the narrator throughout the whole film or the whole video game. So it's like, yeah, even up until then he was. Yeah. And so now the movies came out. Of course, it's obvious. Now, again, I will say the other people, no, he didn't create them all, but he's the one pushing them all, you know, and I would rather have him marketing than anyone else, you know. Yeah. And there's some guys that are really great illustrators that started out early and, well, they're dead now or they're just not great spokesmen.
Yeah.
Stan Lee was a spokesman.
That's the thing. You know, not everybody can be a great spokesman. Everybody can be the face of a company. Stan Lee could. He could do both of those. So, yeah.
I
fully support it. And like I said, that promo that they set out, even though I know I'm being manipulated played, okay, I'm fine with it. I got a little choked up, a little misty when I listened to it the first time.
Yeah,
when I watched
as soon as
it
I heard his
time.
Voice, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you know, it's weird how, given the context of just life right now, and this is something that he recorded decades ago, years ago, that they just recycled. But, you know, he does the line about, see that man over there? That's your brother. Mm-hmm. See that woman over there? She's your sister. And given our tumultuous climate right now, all of that seems like it has extra meaning, extra layers of meaning. Now, I may just be a schmuck reading way too much into it, but I thought, oh, that plays on a couple of different levels. And knowing how in touch Marvel has always been with what's going on in the world at large and how that influenced what was going on in the comics.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a mistake or something that they just fell ass backwards into.
Right. Yeah, definitely not. Well, and you know what? I think I just figured out you and I are going to start a new religion, Stan Lee-ism. The man had more wise comments than Buddha. I mean, this guy had some stuff to say.
All hail Stan Lee.
Think I can list that on my dog tags? Is it too late?
I think that may be.
Stan Lee-ism. What? So, all right, we started our own political party and religion here on the Nerd Up Podcast. So if you're wanting to sign up, make donations.
That's right. Just let us know. Yes.
We'll pass around the plate.
If you'd like for us to bless you.
We'll give you the Stan Lee seal of approval. Wait a minute. What was the no prize? Remember the Stan Lee no prize? We'll give you the no prize approval. Nah, never know. So, well, I'll tell you what, we've been talking way too long, as we usually do anyway. Yeah. So let's call this an end and hopefully get the guys on for another.
And honestly, we talk way too long whether we're recording or not.
I know, right?
So,
and that's the thing. That's one of the things Tony says, hey, we need to get this stuff on a podcast. I mean, every day we'd talk, and then finally he says, well, let's do the podcast. I mean, he's been the driving force to get this back on. So that if you want to thank anybody, it's him. If you want to kick somebody in the teeth for bringing this back, it's him.
Right. I'm to blame regardless, you know.
So, yeah, but that's the reason. And again, we sit there and talk for hours. Might as well record it. And again, this is a proof in the pudding right here. So that's another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. Don't know if we're working around a few people's schedules on getting some guests getting in here.
Yeah, I can't wait till we're able to get Jed in here and talk to him a little bit. And I know he physically wants to come here and be in studio, which is awesome. I'm looking forward to that, and I can't wait to talk to him. And I know you've been in contact with some other people. I've reached out to some of our contacts at Eagle Theater. And again, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention how big a supporter of the podcast Eagle Theater has always been. Look them up online, eagletheater.net. Whether you're seeing movies here in Robinson or in Clinton or any of the other locations that they've got theaters. And even if you're not going to see a movie at Eagle Theater, get out there and support your local privately owned theaters. The big AMCs of the world are great, but don't forget those mom and pop privately owned theaters.
They're the ones that through this pandemic, they're the ones that really did what they could to survive. Yeah. I mean, AMC had corporate backing.
Yeah. Well, and even AMC, I think, really struggled because of the size of them. They were not able to pivot as well as the small indie theaters were. They're not as entrenched in the community as the small indie theaters were. So perhaps they didn't get the community support that that the smaller indie theaters have gotten. So
that's right.
Definitely support your indie theater and support your local businesses wherever you're at. We are a local radio station. We are owned by a company that owns a dozen other stations, but they're still very much, in the grand scheme of things, a very local operation.
And it's the locals that you got to support because they're the ones that are there for you.
Yeah.
And that's a funny thing. It's like, for example, our favorite thing, school closures due to weather. Who are they going to call? The local radio station.
That's right.
They're not going to call some corporate entity.
Yep.
And same thing with the theater here in town. I'm going to go to the local theater, Eagle Theater, but long before I even consider going anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And most of the times I won't even go anywhere else because it's at the Eagle.
If they're not showing it at the Eagle, I'm just not going to go see it.
It must not be important.
Yeah, it's not that important to me.
So, definitely support your local theaters, but especially shout out to the guys at Eagle Theater. EagleTheater.net, that's their website. Check them out. Go on there and let them know that you heard about it on the podcast. Even if you may not be, let's say you live in Cambodia and you can't make it here. Well, send them a little email.
Shoot them a message on Facebook. Let them know that you heard about them on the Nerd Up podcast.
And they'll definitely love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
All right. So another end. We'll get Eric and Tim for sure coming up sometime soon, hopefully. Schedules are always a big thing, but in the meantime, like we say at the end of every single episode, stay nerdy.
It's time to celebrate the triumphant return of Crawford County's only live radio variety show,
Live at the Five.
Guilty Wilson and Rachel Carter will host with special musical guests and some great interviews.
The best part is,
you can now be a member of the live audience. Tickets are only $10. Seating is limited, so get your tickets now at the Rocking Horse in Palestine. Live at the Five, Wednesday, June 9th, 7 to 9 at the Five Opera House in Palestine and right here on Classic Hits WTYE.